Father, are you ready for the word for this session? Turn again with me in your Bibles to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Let's just lay the groundwork for where we're going. Verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget all of His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." We found out this morning it's just as easy to receive the forgiveness of God as it is to receive the healing of God. If you can be forgiven by faith, you can be healed by faith. Amen? And our goal today is we develop a progression of teaching that causes an accumulation of anointing, an increased expectation for healing to take place tonight. We want it to result in two things. One is, if you've got pain in your body today, you leave tonight without it. Amen? And two, we want to develop our faith to the point we don't have to be sick anymore. God doesn't want you to live just in the realm of divine healing. He wants us to move over into the place of divine health, where you're never sick again another day of your life. Wouldn't it be wonderful? It is wonderful. It's great. In fact, you will get to the point, if you can move into that realm, that if a symptom ever visits you're going, "What is this?" It's almost foreign to you because you don't expect sickness anymore. And God wants us to live in that place of being free from pain and symptoms of sickness. Well, the session I'm going to do today, or at this point in time, is called Hindrances to Your Healing. There are certain things out there that will hinder your healing. You know, we've talked about having prayer lines, and you have a group of people come up and get prayed for. And in many cases, some will get healed and some won't. Amen? And the question always arises, well, you know, why is it that not everybody got healed? And we talked about, well, man comes up with the doctrine. Well, it just wasn't God's will to heal them. We've already thrown that one out. Well, you know, it's God's will now to heal everyone of everything, every time, all the time. God wants us healed. So what are things that are out there that can hinder you being able to receive of the healing power of God? Well, before I go into this, I want to give you a warning. I don't want what I teach you now to become an obstruction to your faith. A lot of people, when you tell them about hindrances to your healing or hindrances to your faith, they start making a mental checklist of all the areas they've blown it. And all it does is increase condemnation on their life, and it makes them harder for them to receive. Did you follow that? See, if I start listing all the things that can hinder your healing and you start taking it personally and you start grading yourself against it, all of a sudden you'll move into higher levels of unbelief for healing because now you feel like you're less qualified than you felt like before. So don't let that happen. First of all, Jesus, when He prayed for people, they were all healed. When the gifts are moving, and we're believing for the gifts to move today, when the gifts are moving, they go beyond your faith. Amen. I see too many people that are unbelievers get healed. I see too many people that don't even in any way expect to be healed. In fact, sometimes almost mocking when you pray for them, get healed. There was a girl in a Kohl's store, the Kohl's in Lexington, Hamburg. I was in there a few years back. And I'm going through this rack of clothes. And this girl that worked there, young girl, was complaining she had a migraine. She needed to go home or whatever. And I overheard it, and I says, "Can I interrupt a second?" I said, "I used to have migraines, but God told me how I can take authority over those. And since that point, I feel like I have authority to take, you know, I have the power to take authority over migraines other people suffer. And I see people healed of migraines all the time. If you will allow me, I'll pray for you, and God will take that migraine away." And she was like, "That is the silliest thing I ever heard. You know, really?" I mean, there's mockery in her voice. I said, "Yes, if I pray, I believe God will take that migraine away." She says, "Well, go ahead." And I'm you know, a couple racks away. So I said, "In the name of Jesus, I command that migraine to leave right now. In Jesus' name." She goes, her eyes got real big. "How did you do that?" Well, it was what I told you. I believe we can pray and people will be set free. God's mercy is phenomenal. His gift kicks and He will heal you way beyond your faith level. So don't start making a list today and then by the time it's time to be prayed for tonight, you don't feel worthy. There are two ways God normally heals somebody with healing. Either by somebody else carrying the gift that you receive of, or by you being healed yourself by your faith, or the two in combination. And when I'm talking about things that will hinder your healing, they primarily, in most cases, deal with areas that where you're trying to be healed by your own faith, which is the highest level, because you don't know if the gift's going to kick in or not. But if you learn how to use your own faith to receive of healing, you can access healing every time. Amen. So we're here to learn how, you know, one of the ways is to learn how to use our faith, our own faith, to receive of healing, independently of somebody prays for us or not. You know, way back early on, we were quick to run to Apostle Callahan for healing. I remember back in 1992, we had just formed Grace Ministries. We were over in the Jaguar dealership building, and I got hit with some kind of attack, assault of the enemy. Bobby Jean was in that meeting that night, and I was so bad they took me back to Pastor Jim's office. I felt like I was going to die. I mean, I felt like every organ in my body had shut down. The devil saying, "You better call an ambulance now. It's over for you. You won't make it through the night." And I felt that way. I've never felt like that in my life. And I know the devil was trying to kill me. And I said, devil, I will not call an ambulance. I'm not bringing an ambulance to this church on a Bobby Jean Merck meeting. Amen. I'm the healed. And I'm new to this. I'm learning. And I got so... looked so bad, they went and got Pastor Callahan out of the meeting. Do you remember this? They went and got you out of the meeting. She's preaching. You came back and you laid hands on me and you said, "You foul devil, I see you, take your hands off of him." And you said, "There it is, it broke." And I felt it. He walked out of the room, and I kept walking the floor for, I don't know, the 5 minutes or so, and I was totally healed. Walked back out in the service for the rest of the service. They announced to her what had happened. And then she made me run around the room or something like that to prove I was healed. Just what I wanted. Amen. But I was healed by the gift. I was healed by my faith was in on it, but it was that gift he carried that I grabbed a hold of. Amen. Well, it came a point in time where I would have symptoms and God said, "Don't go to him anymore. Use your own faith for that. Learn how to take authority yourself and stand until it leaves yourself." Because that's going to higher levels where I didn't need him to get healed anymore. I just needed his CDs. Amen. And God wants to take us to that level of my not being dependent upon the gift. And so we're going to talk about some things that can hinder the flow of healing into your life. So turn to Hosea chapter 6. And again, Pastor Callahan has mentioned this already a couple times this morning. But let's see it in the Word. Daniel, Hosea, right? Hosea chapter 6. I wrote that down wrong, didn't I? Chapter 4, verse 6. Chapter 4, verse 6, God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." What you don't know can hurt you. What you don't know can actually kill you. Amen. He says, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." A lot of people that are trying to receive healing power from God end up not being able to get free because of what they don't know. They don't know about the principles of faith. They don't know how to stand in faith. All they've heard is that God is a God that heals. So they say things like, "God, will you please heal me? God, if it be thy will, would you heal me?" Which is evidence they're already in unbelief. And because they do not know the ways God heals. How many know God has spiritual laws? There are laws that govern the realm of the Spirit. And if you know how to operate in the laws of the Spirit, you can access what the Spirit realm has to offer. This natural world has laws of physics that govern it. We have laws of gravity, right? We have laws of thermodynamics, laws of electricity. There are all these physics laws that govern this realm we live in. And if you know how to activate these laws, you can use them for your benefit. Amen. We can take the laws of physics and build an airplane that can allow you to overcome the law of gravity. Right? By activating the laws of lift, you overcome the law of gravity. And what happens? You receive a benefit from it. How many know for the last, 5,900 years, we've not been able to use the law of lift in any effective fashion? But in the past 108 years, since the Wright brothers, we've been able to build airplanes. Knowledge lets you access the blessings of a system. And the kingdom of God works by laws. Again, I've got to be careful not to get into Pastor Cowan's teaching. But if you don't know the laws of faith, you don't know the laws of the Spirit, you can pray, but because you don't know how to access what the Spirit realm offers, you can't activate it. And you may maintain your heat and your sickness symptoms because of the lack of knowledge you have. We are here today to gain knowledge of how to access healing power. Amen? Too many people believe, well, all you do is just pray, you ask God for it, and that's all that it requires. We've got too many people asking God for something He says you've already got access to. You don't ask God for healing anymore. Did you hear me on that? You don't ask God for healing, He's already given it. You speak to the symptoms and command them to leave. You receive of the healing anointing and let it flow through you. God says, by His stripes, you were healed. Too many people are asking God to heal them from something He already healed them from 2,000 years ago. So what we don't know can hinder our faith. You must study. Let me bring this out for just a second. I was raised an atheist. I was raised being told that, Christianity was a crutch for weak-minded people. I was told that, God was a fabrication of men's minds. So when I got saved, I'd not been taught traditional Christianity. And so I just started reading the Word. I was challenged to read the Bible. And I started reading through the Gospels, and I started seeing all these miracles Jesus did. And the statements He said, we can do the works that He did. And my mind said, I'm going to go to a church that's doing what He did. And we went from church to church to church looking for somebody moving in the power of God. And that's really what connected us to Apostle Callahan, because he was teaching how to access the things of the Spirit. And we were seeing results. We were seeing the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I personally cannot understand why you would stay in a church not manifesting any of the power of God. Well, all my friends are there. Yeah, but let the dead bury the dead. Go where they're... Listen, if they were teaching you the laws of the Spirit, they would be moving in the power of the Spirit. Find somebody teaching you the truth where the power of God, the supernatural, is actually taking place. Amen. Traditional teaching will kill you. So a lack of knowledge is one of the main hindrances to us being healed. The second one I want to talk about, look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And let's go to verse number 5. Well, let's back up. And verse 1, He, Jesus, went out from thence and came into His own country, and His disciples followed Him. And when the Sabbath day was come, He began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing Him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this that which is given unto Him, that even such mighty works are wrought by His hands? They're seeing the miracles He's doing. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and of Joseph, and Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at Him. They were offended He was walking in the power of God. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. And He could there do no mighty work, save that He laid His hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And He marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. Now this is an obvious one. But one of the main hindrances, if not the main hindrance to you being healed, is a lack of faith. A lack of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we're going to talk about today, it's going to come out, the difference between faith and mental ascension. A lot of people have come to a meeting like this and they'll hear about how God wants you healed. They'll hear about the healing power of God. And so they'll decide, okay, I'm going to receive that. I receive of God's healing power. And they walk out trying to walk in divine healing, walk in divine health, but they've never taken the steps necessary to go beyond the revelation that God wants you healed and develop the faith to receive God's healing. See, today you may hear that God wants you healed and you have a mental agreement with. You see it in your soul. You see it. Yes, this is true. You've got a hold of that understanding. God wants you healed. But to grab it by faith requires a power connection from your spirit man that only meditating the Word can produce. And again, you've got to get the words regarding healing and meditate them till faith is developed. Again, I don't want to get ahead of, you know, where we're going today. But too many people are trying to activate the healing power of God and don't really have a faith connection to it. And too many people are trying to be healed by God and don't even have the mental ascension of their right to be healed. They're walking around with this mindset, if God wants me healed, He'll heal me. Is it really His will to heal me? Did God put this sickness on me? There's no faith there. Are you following me on that? So you must, if you're going to be healed, you must develop your faith. I'm telling you what I did. I know what Pastor Callahan has done. We got tapes that dealt with healing, we had scriptures that dealt with healing, and we would read them over and over and over again. Confess them over and over again. I'd get on the exercise bicycle at the gym with the healing confessions in front of me. I'd have a list of nothing but healing confessions. And I would read them every day, day after day, until I knew that I knew I had that promise, that it was real. And faith connection was made. Too many people want to access the healing power of God without doing the homework required to be able to activate it. You have to meditate the Word of God for faith to be developed. Amen? So, we've got to transition from believing it's real to knowing we have it. We've got to come to the point we believe that it is finished. The third area I want to talk about that can hinder the healing power of God in your life is a major one. It's traditions. And we've already talked about it at some length this morning. Look at Matthew chapter 7. I'm sorry, Mark chapter 7. Next chapter over. Mark chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus says, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Teaching as doctrine what men say, not what God has said. He says in verse 13, he says, "Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition." Now here's an amazing thing. How many believe that this is the word of God? How many believe this is that God is of infinite power? Therefore, by the transitive property of scriptural interpretation, that's my term, this book is of infinite power. This is Jesus in print form. Yet He Himself said that your tradition can take all the power out of this book. Your tradition can neutralize the power of this book being able to be released into your life. See, I believe, personally, one of the blessings God did for me is that I was raised an atheist, because I didn't learn the traditions. So they didn't stand in my way as much as they do a lot of people. You know, that I was taught all these ways God moves and what He doesn't do and what He does do and how He moves. Amen? Traditions will rob you of the healing power of God. Well, what traditions do you mean, Pastor Jack? Well, we talked about something. One tradition that people talk about today is God is the author of sickness. Sickness comes from God. No, it doesn't. That's a traditional teaching. That is a commandment of men that's taken as a doctrine of God. God is the author of healer. As we found it this morning, Pastor Callan brought forth, Jesus came to undo, to reverse, to neutralize all the works of the enemy. Amen? And sickness definitely originates from Satan. Another tradition we talk about is that somehow God is glorified in sickness. Amen? That means when Jesus healed people, He went around destroying the Father's glory. As Jesus healed people, He was defying the will of the Father. That's a ridiculous thought, isn't it? God is not glorified in your sickness. God is not in any way glorified that you're carrying the symptoms around. In fact, I'll tell you the truth, I really don't want to have somebody praying for me that's on their last leg themselves. I'm looking for somebody that's walking in the healing power of God. You know, they've activated it within their own life. Another traditional teaching of men is that the era of miracles is past. Well, you know, Jesus healed. You know, the disciples healed. The first century church healed. But you know, we have modern medicine now. And we don't need the healing power of God like they needed it, you know, 2,000 years ago. Well, you know what? I believe our hospitals are still packed to the full of people that the medicine's not been able to, you know, to free. I believe we need the healing power of God now as much as we ever have. And I can't find a single scripture in here that says the healing power of God is going to pass away. But men have come up with that traditional doctrine because they couldn't explain why they weren't seeing people healed. It wasn't that it passed away. It was that they were embarrassed because they weren't manifesting it. And we come up with the tradition of men. Again, another traditional teaching we talk about is God's not willing to heal everybody. And we've already destroyed that mindset this morning. Jesus continually healed them all. Amen. And so these traditional teachings that we've been taught year after year in our dead churches, not our dead churches, but dead churches we've attended, churches where no power was manifesting as far as any healing manifestation, those traditional teachings program you not to be expectant to receive of the healing power of God. Amen. And so here we see traditions can neutralize God's power to heal. A fourth area we want to touch on just for a minute is not taking care of your body. Listen, God's a merciful God. Amen. But you defile the temple of God, you can open the door to sickness. If you never eat anything healthy, you don't get any exercise, and all you do is eat Snicker bars and drink unhealthy milkshakes, not like we have here at the Java Shop. You know, espresso is very healthy. Oh, you could have helped me out somewhat with that one. Amen. Faith ought to at least amen that one. You can break down your physical body's ability to resist sickness to some level and be living off the anointing alone. We have a responsibility to take care of this temple. And if you don't treat it properly, then you can hinder the healing power of God in your life. Praise God for the mercy of God. When you get the revelation, He can turn it around. Amen. The fifth area that can hinder your ability to receive of the healing power of God is unbelief in those praying for you. Let me touch on this one just for a minute. It is traditional practice in Christianity that if you need a healing in your life, you get on the phone chain and you call everybody you know to pray for you. Get on Facebook, online, every source you can think of. Call the churches around and say, I'm really experiencing these symptoms in my body. Can you guys please pray for me? And you know what happens? You tell them something and it's serious enough. You know, you've been diagnosed with high blood pressure or heart disease or diabetes or something like that. Or a cancer. So you heard the C word. So what do? You call everybody you know, pray. They're calling everybody they know, pray. Dialing, you know, 1-800-PRAY. You know what they're doing when they hear about it? They're going, cancer. I've never known anybody to live from that type of cancer. I bet they don't have more than 3 weeks left before they drop dead. And you've dialed the phone chain to all these people in unbelief, and you've got all these people speaking the curse over your life. I'm telling you, if I'm fighting symptoms, I don't tell anybody unless it's my pastor or somebody I know is going to be in faith with me. Amen? I mean, we know that somebody's fighting something. We can call each other and we'll stand and we'll lock in faith and we're not going, Patty, did you hear what Apostle Callahan had? I bet he don't make it through the month. We're not doing that. We're locking in faith. But you get most of Christianity so-called praying for you, and really what they're doing is cursing you. And here's what they'll say, Father, I just want to lift up Sister so-and-so to you. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, should they not live from this sickness they have, I thank you that you receive them into heaven in good standing with you. And Father, take them quickly. Don't let them suffer with this for too long. But if it be thy will to heal them, Lord God, you know, move speedily. I don't want that sister praying for me. I don't even want close to that phone chain. This church does not have a prayer phone chain. We will not have a prayer phone chain. If you need prayer, you can call me, call Rebecca, and we will find people that will stay in faith and lock in and pray for you together. But we do not announce it from the pulpit. Because half the church would be declaring death over their life. I don't want you guys neutralizing my healing seed. Amen. Not to mention, you're trying to find somebody to pray for you, and they're going to lay hands on you. And, you know, they're afraid to lay hands on you because they think it might get on them. Amen. Father, if it be thy will. I want people praying for me that believe in the power of God. Believe in my covenant promise that I'm healed. Amen. And so you got the wrong people in agreement with you. And you're in trouble. You know, Pastor Callahan gave this testimony this morning about Pastor John. And he'd gone to the church, and it was actually in Kansas. And I remember when it happened. And the pastor says, it's not always God's will to heal. We just buried this 2-year-old child, and we had 50 people in the church praying for him. That might have been why he died. How were they praying? Were they praying like the pastor was praying? Sometimes you heal, sometimes you don't. Be careful who you share your symptoms with. If your family's like mine, they may not all be saved. Don't be telling them everything you're going through. They'll be speaking curses all over your life, not knowing it. Who you have praying for you can hinder your healing. Number 6, disobedience to God. We've read in several places already this morning that God says, if you obey my voice, obey my word, obey my commandments, then I'll take away all your diseases. Deuteronomy 28 says, God says, if you obey my voice, hearken to my commandments, I will bless you in the city and the field and basically heal all your diseases. What he says he'll take away. Disobedience to God can position you for the curse. Now, I'm not talking about perfect obedience. Oh, I slept through prayer time, now I'm going to be sick. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're opening doors in your life to sickness because some areas God's told you not to do, and you've been doing it. Amen. I remember way back, God had given me instructions not to drink coffee anymore. Praise God, I found out I can drink the espresso. I don't drink coffee. I first got saved. I drank coffee all the time, and God said, don't drink coffee anymore. I said, that can't be God. And I kept drinking coffee. And guess what? That's when I got migraines. And I had those migraines for, my goodness, 10 years that were horrible. I mean, I'd go to the pharmacy to pick up pain pills, and they say, you're the sickest person we've seen in a month. Sickest looking person. I was just horrible. I would drive the entire family out of the house. Can I take a minute to talk about this story? But I was learning when we came in contact with Pastor Cal and started learning about the healing power of God and the promise of God to be healed. And I had tried to fight migraines before. I'd try to just, in Jesus' name, I'm healed and walk them out. And it would be so intense pain, I'd have to do a pain pill and go to bed. Just put a pillow over my head, run everybody off. And finally, one day, I just had enough of it. I determined I was not going to give way to fear of that thing anymore, because it was fear of them really was triggering a lot of it. I'd feel a symptom. Next thing I know, here comes a migraine. And we were at a gathering of a bunch of the Christians in the church. And Pastor Callan was there and a bunch of them. And here came a migraine. It would always come at big occasions. Here came a migraine. And I told Patty, I've had enough of this. You stay here. I'm going to the van. I'm dealing with this thing. And went out to our Chevy van, and I sat in the passenger seat. And my head's starting to pound. And on that Chevy, it had a steel dashboard with a layer of plastic over it, no padding. And the devil's saying, you know, don't even move. Your head hurts too bad. Just stay right here, you know. Get you a pain pill. And I said, devil, you think you can hurt my head? Watch this. I'm healed. And I took my head and went, wham, on the dashboard as hard as I could. I'm not afraid of moving my head. Watch this. Wham, I hit it again. I'm the healed of the Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. I thought, either I'm leaving this van with a split head, or I'm leaving it healed. I mean, I'd virtually come to that point. I'm not putting up with this. I'm healed. My faith was there. I just had to act on it. And I don't know how long it might have happened. It might have went on for 20 minutes. I'd pray a bit in tongues and hear this head still pound. I said, nope, that ain't it. And I'd smack as hard as I could hit it on that dash. I didn't care. Something had to go. And I don't know, I probably hit it 15 times on the steel dash. And it hurt. But on about the 15th time I hit my head, and when it rose up, it was gone. And not only the head, the headache was gone. He taught me to act in faith. I was addressing the fear of the pain. I had to get ahead over that fear that if I move my head or bump my head, you know, don't move, don't breathe. I said, you watch me move. And it broke. And guess what? That's been 15 years ago. Over 15 years now. Haven't had migraines since. The point I want to make is what was the point I got to make? It all came out of the drinking coffee. And when I got free, now God says, never touch coffee again. And that's the last to drink coffee. I've tried to at times take a drink of coffee and just to sit the next day, I'm fighting a headache. But God freed me of it and showed me how to stay free. You have to stay obedient to what God tells you to do. Amen. Number 7. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Have you got it? It says, verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Another thing that can hinder your faith is not choosing to walk in love. Entertaining strife, you know, we're going to talk about strife in a minute most likely, but strife will disrupt the anointing around you. The Bible says where there's strife, there's confusion in every evil work. It will mess with your faith. If you're not learning, love energizes your faith. It activates it. It fuels it. And you choose to resist, to walk in love, you walk in unforgiveness, hatefulness, bitterness. Those all work to attack your spiritual standing of healing. Many people believe that a lot of the symptoms we have, Elizabeth Smither teaches on it all the time, a lot of the physical symptoms you will go through are the result of areas of unforgiveness in your life. The worst is a bitter spirit drieth the bones. Many believe that arthritis is an area of some area of unforgiveness in your life. So choose to walk in love. Choose to let the past go. Amen. Choose to find out how to walk in love. I have a whole tape set. Amen. So a lack of love can hinder the amount of faith you activate and how much healing you can access. Number 8, Hebrews chapter 11. I want to touch on a few of these real quick because there's a few I really need to focus on a little more. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse Verse 6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Listen, one thing that will hinder your faith, hinder you believing or receiving the healing power of God, is to fail to go after it with your whole heart. Faith acts on what God has said. Faith goes after what God has said. Amen. You've got to fully believe God's a rewarder of what you do. And I tell you what, you will never develop your faith to any great level if you do it in a lackadaisical manner, if you do it half-heartedly. Faith requires discipline and diligence to develop it. Amen. And if all you're doing is every once in a while, every few weeks, you know, you speak a page of confessions and you're not really, you know, going after it, you won't access what you're after. Amen. Go after it like you believe it. Number 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One of the main areas that will hinder your faith for healing is to keep looking at the symptoms instead of looking at the Word. Your expectation will gravitate toward what you look at. Let me say that again. What you look at, what you focus on, is what you will be in anticipation of receiving. Amen. You know, you tell a ball player when they're learning to catch the ball, keep your eye on the ball. What you're looking at, what you're focused on, is what you're about to receive. You keep looking at the symptoms in your body, you're staying in expectation for the symptoms to be there. Not only that, just looking at the symptoms repeatedly after you've already claimed your healing, is you're letting the symptoms declare whether the Word of God really works. You're letting the symptoms announce whether you believe the Word's working or not. This Word works whether you have symptoms on your body or not. This Word is true whether or not you feel pain or not. And here's a clue regarding believing God for healing. Many times when you claim your healing, the symptoms may get worse, because the devil wants to stop you from using your faith. You've got to stand your ground and say, I'm not looking at the symptoms. I'm looking at what God said. To some level, that's what I was doing when I was slamming my head on the dash. I was saying, I'm not paying attention to the symptoms. I'm depending on the Word. You cannot get caught in the trap of studying the rash, studying, you know, the area that hurts in your body, to determine whether you're healed or not. Just like if somebody dies, when somebody dies, doesn't prove that God's will wasn't to heal them. Neither do the symptoms in your body disprove that God says you're healed. Did you catch that? You're healed no matter what the symptoms say. And you hold on to your faith for the healing, the symptoms have to bow down to the Word. But you keep focusing on the problem, you keep focusing on the mountain, it will elevate its stature before you, and you won't be able to access the faith necessary to receive the healing. In most cases, when I've got an injury, when I've got an area, if I've got symptoms try to attack my body, I will not look in the mirror at it. I won't look at it on my body. I'm not going to study it. I'm not going to take my temperature. Take your temperature 15 times in an hour. Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? You're already in unbelief. What does that thermometer have to do with whether or not the Word of God is true? Now, if you're getting really bad and you feel like it's moving up to 105, 106, take your temperature to find out if you've got to go to the emergency room. But up until that point, all you're doing is studying symptoms. Are you following this one? Don't let the symptoms declare to you whether the Word's true or not. Speak the Word. James chapter 2. Again, this goes along with slamming your head on the dash as well. I know you think I'm crazy, but I'm healed. And I guarantee you, slamming my head on that dash didn't hurt near as much as jumping up with that bad back, stomping around the floor. Praise you, Jesus. James chapter 2, verse 17 says, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. If you're going to release your faith, it requires two components. First, you speak it, and two, you act on it. And too many people will speak faith, but they won't act on it. What do you mean act on it? You wake up one morning, there's chills in your body. You feel nausea. Feel like you've got a temperature. But all of a sudden you realize what Pastor Callan preached about healing. This is what I've been through more than once. And you realize you're the healed. So what do? You say, sickness, go from me. I am healed in Jesus' name. I receive my healing. And then you roll over into bed and put the pillow on your head and call for some chicken soup. You're going to stay sick. You're not in faith for healing. Faith acts like what it's believed for is true. So what do? You tell the symptoms, shut up, you get out of bed, you go to the shower, you get ready, you go to work, whatever you got to do. Now listen, if you're extremely contagious, don't come to church. Well, you come to church, but sit in the corner. Let me restate that. Don't bring your highly contagious babies and put them in the nursery by faith. Did you follow that? Amen. But the point is, you've got to act like you're healed. You've got to say, symptoms, you're not holding me from my routine. You're not keeping me from what I should be doing if I was healed, and I am healed, so I'm doing what I would do. Don't ask me to repeat that. Faith acts on the promise. You refuse for the symptoms to keep you from your routine. Amen? You act as if you're healed. Anytime, and I've learned this from the apostle, anytime somebody comes up here for healing and there's pain in their body, and I pray for them, the first thing I do is say, move it. There was somebody we prayed up here for a while ago, and I said, now bend over. I didn't know they had steel rods in their back. I didn't know it, but yet they did it in faith, and God healed them. Healed her. I always want them to move, to act on the faith. Put action to it. Move it. And of course, that's when the surprise hits their face anyway. That's the funnest part. Act like the Word of God is true. Number 11. Oh, let me throw in a few more on number 10. On not acting on your faith. If you are believing God to heal your vision, don't drive without your glasses until it manifests. At least if you're going to, call me first so I know not to get on the road. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Number 11. Claiming the ailment as your own. Proverbs 18 tells us death and life is in the power of the tongue. What you speak, you lay claim to. And too many people claim sicknesses as they belong to them. My head is killing me. My headache is killing me. My diabetes is driving me up the wall. Amen. My arthritis, they name it, call it Arthur. My grandmother, she named it Arthur. Arthur's just killing me today. And would claim it as it belonged to her. I have the flu. Why do you want it? Are you fine? You're claiming it. Do not personalize the symptoms. Amen. Command the symptoms to leave, and especially don't say it. Start saying it belongs to you. Amen. My migraine is killing me. First, don't say anything's killing you as well. That's also a mistake, right? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Don't claim sickness. Don't claim pain. And especially don't claim death. Number 12. We touched on confusing mental assent with faith. Getting a revelation of the truth and not developing your faith in it. Number 13. Not believing you received healing because you didn't see immediate results. Look at James chapter 5. Let's go there with this one. I believe this is where I want to go. Wrong verse. It's a good one, but that's not where I want to go. Well, let me touch on it anyway. A lot of people will come up in a prayer line, get healed or prayed for healing. And if they don't see immediate manifestation, they say, well, it must not have worked. They'll say, I didn't receive my healing. Who says you didn't? Who says immediate manifestation determines whether the word's true in your case or not? You may not see results take place for 24 hours, maybe 24 days. But it doesn't change if the word of God is true. Don't expect that you have to have immediate results for it to have worked. Again, I want to give you another testimony of what happened years ago with me. In fact, back in 1993, God told me to quit my job and study the Word. And so I went to the apostle. He said, well, I believe it's God. So I quit my job. And the month after I quit, I went to the dentist. The dentist was doing a routine checkup, and he says, you have bone damage in front of your mouth. And I knew what it caused it. I'd been using a pencil as a toothpick, and it slipped and jabbed way up in my gum. And he says, you've got this certain, I think a 0.6 inclusion or something like that. He says, there's bone damage. He says, you need to see a periodontist right away or you'll lose that tooth. And I left and I said, I just quit my job. I don't have benefits anymore. This comes straight out of my pocket. Satan, you're trying to steal from me. I refuse it. So I said, in Jesus' name, this mouth is healed. And I said, the gum is back in place. The teeth are solid. And everything's restored. And I said, I'm healed. The problem is my teeth didn't agree at that moment in time. Over a period of probably 6 months, all of my front teeth started getting loose. I mean, I got a big gap formed between my teeth. The teeth got so loose over the period of about 6 or 9 months, I could take my fingers and play them like a piano. This whole side, front and side. My wife will tell you. She said, are you going to go to the dentist for that or not? And I say, God healed these teeth. I wouldn't look in the mirror and, oh, look how bad it is. I'm healed. Doing what I knew to do. I'd already claimed I couldn't back off. After, 9 months or a year, I went back to the dentist. He took one look and he says, I told you to see a periodontist. And I said, God's going to heal these teeth. He says, you can say that if you want to, but if you don't go to the dentist, you will lose those teeth. And I left. I said, Father, I thank you. These teeth are healed. They're back in place. The gum's restored. The bone's restored. In Jesus' name, I'm healed. This went on for over a year, probably close to a year and a half. And the teeth were just literally sticking straight out almost at times, flared way out. And I'm having to cast down. I'm having to say, no, I'm the healed. My teeth are back in place. The bone's restored. Everything's perfect. And one morning I got up. Went in to brush my teeth and looked, and all my teeth were back in place. I started wiggling them. They wouldn't wiggle anymore. The gaps were gone. In one night, everything flipped off to 180 degrees. I went back to the dentist. I'd now moved to Frankfurt, back at a different dentist. I go for a cleaning. He checks everything. I said, how did everything check? He said, perfect. I said, can you check this tooth area right here? Because I was told there was bone damage. He goes and checks. He says, no, everything is a 0.3 or below. That was greater than I was before I ever had the problem. God fixed it back better than it was to start with. In one night, went from piano keys to healed. But I couldn't look at the symptoms. I had to, and I couldn't believe because I didn't see it right away. It wasn't working. It was working the whole time. That's why these things take faith. Again, number 14, strife. Strife opens up the atmosphere over your life for sickness. You live in an environment of strife, you will have sickness hit your life and family. You live in a lot of stress, you're going to have to fight symptoms a whole lot more than a person without them. Amen. Because it combats with the anointing. Keep the strife and the stress out of your house. And then number 15, the last one. Having a life that's out of divine order. Psalm 133 tells us that it's good and pleasant for the brethren to dwell together in unity, and that the anointing, the oil, flows from the head all the way down to the rest of the body. If you don't have a life where you're in divine order under a man of God, hopefully a man of God that's anointed, that can flow something down to you, and you're in rebellion against that headship, then the anointing cannot extend to your life and you will fight symptoms you would normally have to fight. I like knowing I'm in divine order. I'm in submission to my man of God. Amen. I'm covenant with the body of Christ, that if something does try to rise up against me, somebody will be praying against it, interceding on my behalf. Amen. An anointing canopy stays over my life because of the order that I stay in. Those that live in rebellion will fight major sickness in their life. And let me throw in a number 16. You want to fight symptoms? Decide to leave revival. The enemy will try to make a gazing stock out of you. The writer of Hebrews says, we're not of those that draw back to perdition or to ruin. You decide you're going to leave the flow of revival. You've been in the Holy Ghost church. You've been moving in the power of God. But all of a sudden you decide you don't believe that anymore. All of a sudden you're mad at the preacher or whatever and you leave. You move out of covering and the devil is going to slap you upside the head with everything he's got. And I don't know that I've yet seen a person that was in a revival and left it, and the enemy did not virtually bring havoc into their life. Not trying to scare you to keep in this church. I'm trying to let you know it opens the door to sickness. Amen. Now again, don't let what I taught today hinder you from receiving healing today. The gift's going to flow, and if you'll come up expecting, God's going to touch your life. Amen. Well, let's take just a break here for a few minutes.